righteous name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus. Now we will. Amen. Would you open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9? And while people are getting there, I want to rehearse what has already been brought out today. What were some things that you heard today from either something from a song or something that somebody spoke or a scripture that's been said? Let me hear what's kind of hit you and been absorbed, and now you want to say it back.
Grace wins every time.
Grace wins every time. Thank God. Thank God for that. Something else.
Please. Surrender.
About surrendering. Okay, something else.
God is Lord.
God, Jesus is Lord. God is Lord. Anything else? What were some of the... Go ahead.
When Melinda was talking about how we're in a battle and we need to be aware of what's going on around us,
yeah,
and not just, you know, allow ourselves to flow with whatever's happening.
Right. That really hit me, what Melinda said. Being players rather than pawns.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Being moved about by every wind of doctrine, by just bouncing along with what the world throws at you and what the enemy puts into your heart and your mind, and just kind of going along with all of that as though that's just the way it is, instead of recognizing that there's some battle that needs to take place lots of times. Anything else? Good.
Well, I don't know if it goes something like that. I just realized how much lack of faith I have. And I don't have faith for what I pray. And he's encouraging me in doing that. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we need to believe that he'll do it. That's one thing that's been dawning on me more and more. I don't have that faith that God calls when he calls me to prayer. And so
and that awareness is what allows us then to pick up the sword of the Spirit and pick up the shield of faith and pick up those different things and say, no, wait a minute, I'm not going to be like this. I'm going to change the way I think about things. Something else? Anything else? Of course, it really hit me what Sharon read this morning. I guess Melinda had asked people to do particular scriptures, and what Sharon read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, right? There's a warfare that we're in, and where it originates, where the enemy does the warfare on us on a personal level, is right up here. That's where it is. No matter the events that take place out around us, it's the thoughts that come about how we end up reacting to those particular events. Isn't that what it is? You know, I knew I was going to be preaching this, and then things have happened this morning that just really, I'm right in the battle. You know, Mr. Worrywart, Malcolm Longenecker, you know, worry about things. You know, my mind should be a lot further along than what it is. You know, I'm embarrassed to say this. But you can pray for me that way. But I know that God's going to give me the grace to be able to get out beyond this. And that's what we do have to have. We have to realize that where things come in on our lives that we're unprepared for, maybe even if we are prepared for something and something bad happens, we will have, God loves us, we will have the grace that we need to handle the situations.
Yes.
And yes?
Can I just say that you're not the only one that goes through this stuff, you know, that's thinking about my life too and stuff, and in an instant I couldn't catch them, and they hit their head on the table. And it's the first time that's ever happened to me in 20 years of doing therapy and stuff, and it was working on me yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was working on me this morning. And the battle is not easy. It's not easy because you always have these what if things, like what if I would have done that today? What if I was a little closer? What if, you know, all these things kind of come into play and you have all these thoughts in your head that there's things that you could have done to change things. And so the enemy's coming in and he's pounding you. And he's pounding and he's saying all these things to you. And so our job is to kind of like pound back, right? So
yes.
So we're going, God is better than that. Grace wins. God's going to get me through this. He's going to help. He's going to help that person who hit their head. Yes. He's going to be on top of everything. And so, yes. And so the battle is there, and it's not an easy battle. And we could say, you know, grace wins every time, but if we don't mean it, it's a big thing. You know, we got to really believe it, and we got to keep battling and battling and battling. And then you come in and you hear words that are spoken
right
here, songs that are chosen, and it's meant to uplift you. To help you out of that little hole.
God's there. That's a good thing to know, that when there's confirmation in song and testimony and the message, that God's saying something very specific to us. You know, and this is going to weave back into something else I'm going to get to at the end of the message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I think that we as Christians can find ourselves in this situation. It's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26. We've been talking about warfare. We talked about the armor of God last week. And here it says in verse 26, I therefore run in such a way, not uncertainly. I fight not as one that beats the air. Oh, gosh. Doesn't that just happen to many Christians? Our soldiering, our fighting it's just desperate, and we're just kind of beating the air. We're not focused. We're not hitting the mark. You know, you watch different shows and somebody's fighting and they take a shot and they miss. Or they're just so flustered or so scared don't know what to do, and so they're just throwing their arms around. They're just beating the air, right? And I think in many ways Christians can be that way. I want to talk about this a little bit too, because I'm going to jump to the next scripture. It's 1 Timothy 1, verse 18, and it says this. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy. This is 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on you, that you might war a good warfare. A good warfare. Now, we don't want to just be throwing at things that doesn't hit the mark. That in frustration, oh God, just help me. That we're just kind of throwing things out. This says here to might war a good warfare. That word good means valuable, honest, an honest warfare. A valuable warfare where it hits the mark, right? It's valuable when you get the result that you're looking for, right? You understand that? When we're in a warfare, we don't war to lose. Is there anybody here that wants to war and lose?
Only in D.C.
Isn't that true, though? Does that make any sense to enter into a war? Know that, and all of us are in a war, aren't we?
Yes.
Are we in it to just kind of casually understand things and maybe take a swipe every once in a while? Or are we in it to wage a good warfare? It has to be valuable. When we engage ourselves in war, then we better do it the right way. We've talked about this before. We got to play according to the rules. We got to go the way God wants us to go, right? So,
I got to go back to this because I just thought that all of what was said was just really so good.
I want to. I guess this is what I want to do.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We'll go to Matthew 10. This scripture, we are in warfare on every level. We have so many bad things happening in the world. We have the church at large that is not fulfilling, in a large sense, its duties as the church, as the pillar and ground of truth, number one. And we could go on with this. I don't want to get into the negative side of it too much. And we have the whole political realm, the whole earthly realm of things. And I'm going to get to certain things about that, because it is important for us to realize what's going on all these different levels so that we can war the proper warfare. Okay? All right, now, how many of you think that it's like we're sheep in the midst of wolves in this world? You agree with Jesus about that? Matthew 10, verse 16 says this: "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Yeah. Sheep. Listening to the poor sheep.
We have the great shepherd.
So, he says this to us. Now listen carefully to what he says. He's saying, look, I know the conditions that you are going to have to deal with in this world. And it likens to sheep going out into the midst of wolves. That's how he likens us having to deal in the warfare of this present age. That's what he's saying, isn't it?
What does sheep do to wolves? What does wolves do to sheep?
Yeah, I know. This is the point. Have you ever seen a sheep kill a wolf? Who's stronger? What happens when sheep are together? Can they ward off a wolf? It's pretty darn tough, isn't it? Now, we were up in Alaska. I've told you this story, I think, before. But there were some sheep that were up there that we had at the farm. And their coats of wool were like this thick. I'm not kidding. From where their back was to the top of where the wool was that thick. The wolves could not kill those sheep. They couldn't kill them. Now, we go up there as, city slickers, didn't know a darn thing about anything. We sheared the sheep. Look at all that wool, boy, oh boy. Guess what? Those sheep didn't last long after that. They'd been up there for 3 years, roaming out where the wolves were, and they survived for 3 years because of the thickness of the wool. We didn't know. Boy, did we feel bad when we found their, well, what was remains of them. But Jesus says, you're being sent out like sheep in the midst of wolves. It's not a good situation, in other words.
And so he says then this particular thing. Be therefore wise as serpents. And my Bible says, and harmless as doves. So I wonder what that means. Well, I'm gonna go through some of that. We had a long series of stuff about wisdom, right? To be as wise as a serpent. So I guess serpents are wise. What is it about wisdom in itself? What can you tell me? How would you describe what wisdom is? Because if we're going to be in the midst of wolves, we need to be wise, it says. Wise. What's that mean? Wisdom. Why? Being wise. Tell me what it means. Give me some other words.
Experience. You've dealt with something, not deal with it.
Okay, so experience can bring wisdom, right? Experience is going to be important, right? Something else you can say about wisdom.
Discerning truth. That you're wise, you're saying, you know, somebody's giving you stories, and you have to discern what's truth.
Okay, so you're wise enough to know whether something's true or not, right? It's being able to take knowledge, truth, and know how to apply it in a situation. All you've got to do is look at politics today, and people take the same event and spin it in two different ways. Well, which one's right? You know, you've got to have a discernment which means you have to be wise enough to understand what's going on in the world and be able to apply it the correct way to know whether who's telling the truth. If either one of them are. Right? And in our country, since we get to vote for who's going to be president or and Congress and all of that, then it would behoove us to have good people in there. Because the proverb says that when there is a bad king, the people mourn. When there's a wicked king, the people mourn. When there's a righteous king, the people are happy. That's what it says in the scripture.
Yeah. About wisdom too, Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Wisdom.
That's the foundation.
That's the foundation.
We know who God is, and He's our Lord, and we have an awe for Him. That's just the beginning.
Here we are. We're in the midst of wolves, and I don't think anybody would argue with that. We're in the midst, you know, what's going on in this world. We need to have the fear of God. We need to trust God. We need to know that His grace is going to be sufficient for us. We know that He loves us. We know that He cares for us. And that He's going to lead us in the way that we should go. If we're listening to Him. Right? So that's all good. What else about wisdom?
Awareness.
You have to be aware of things. The word that the Bible uses, circumspect. Cautious. Circumspect. To circumnavigate the world. What did that mean? Like when Magellan did that. Yeah, all around. So, circumspect means you're watching everything. And I'm telling you, the way our society is, give me my phone. That's a good point. I said sleep. Yeah, that's the black hole in Calcutta, which is. Now, the people in this life, Jesus is saying, if you're in a world that's wolves and you're sheep amongst the wolves, that you need to be wise. You need to be circumspect. Not this. Yeah, that's being pretty, you know, way focused. Now, I'm not coming against people that have the technology and are using it, but you can abuse it. And we can get so caught up in sports, our own particular kinds of things that we enjoy. Well, it doesn't have to be this phone, where we're not really looking at what's going on in the world. And yet Jesus tells us that here we are, we're the church and individuals, and we're out in a world that is like being with a bunch of wolves. This isn't my description. This is our Lord's description. And this is what he says, that we are like sheep sent out into a world of wolves. Pretty defenseless. And so, we don't have the power that the rich and famous have. We don't have the power that the government has, do we? They can inflict all kinds of stuff on us. So we don't have a whole bunch of that kind of power, but we know where to go. Because if we're wise, we're going to have the fear of the Lord. If we're wise, we're going to look at what is going on around us so that when it is time in the political realm to vote, that we're not just voting because it's a particular party, but that we're voting because we know enough about what these people believe and what's going on in their lives that we can make a good choice. Isn't it funny? You know, we got an election coming up in November. Well, February is the primaries, yes. So next month. And I'll bet you most people, they just look to see if there's an R or a D. And that's how they vote. Or it could be they say something that you like. And you think they mean it. But they don't. Because we don't have enough discernment. We don't have enough wisdom to be able to see things that are going on in the world and make a right choice.
Not enough verification.
Yeah. I think along the surface spectrum is foresight
too. Yeah. You got me out. Let me see what else I have down here. Okay, so I use the word prudent in my little list here, but prudent and circumspect means the same thing. You're looking at things. You weigh things. You're thoughtful, and those thoughts are preceded by prayer. They're preceded by wanting to do that which is right. That you come humbly before God and realize that things in this world are getting worse and worse, and the ravenous wolves are growing and more hungry because they are led by their father Satan, and he's looking to see who he can devour. And you and I have to realize this. When you go into a battle, do you think that, well, if I treat the enemy okay, then he'll treat me okay? No. When you go into battle, what's your job as a soldier, Rich?
Win and die for their God.
Yeah. You're there to destroy them. We need to destroy, and this is what that scripture was, pulling down every stronghold, every thought that pushes up against in your mind that wants to take you in a different direction than toward the Lord Jesus. That's what's going on. And we just bounce along in life, and our thought life is so controlled, and we are a lot of times moved like little pawns around by the enemy because we don't know what the heck we're doing. We're just kind of throwing out a punch here and there. And I believe this, and I said this last week too. The ante is up in terms of the way we need to be as soldiers in Christ. We do. We have to. Because things are pushing. Now, should that get us all scared? And should that get us all, oh no, what am I going to do? I can't even handle right now. What's it going to be like when you know, I can't run with the footmen. How can I run with the horses? God can give you the grace. If all you do is reach into him and say, God, I want to be serious about this. Otherwise, something could take me out. Oh, and if it does, I'm going to heaven. I know that. I'm not concerned about my salvation. If I mess up, God is greater than me. And I will be with him. Well, why would I want to be taken out? Don't you want to be here? I would love to be here and be one of those, one in the group of people that are going to have their bodies changed and never experience death. What do you think? Would you like to not experience death way back there in that back row? I bet you none of you would want to die. Is there anybody here that wants to die? Nobody. You want to die?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have Jesus come back while you're still alive and change your body?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
if you die, you get to see him first. You get up first.
Okay. By that split second. Okay. Well, I think most... Rachel thinks differently than all of us. Which is good, and that's a good thing, you know? Well, not everybody has to think the same way, but I would bet that most people would think like I do about this, you know? I want to be there. I want to be listening to God, and I want to be doing what he wants me to do, and I want to be ready, and if it requires a greater level of battle, then so be it, you know? Because he will give you the grace to be able to do it. Amen?
I didn't think I was going to get anybody that said that.
Rachel wants to experience everything.
Rachel wants to experience everything.
You get to be with him first, you know.
Oh, well, that's very true.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to keep going here, okay? So there is this thing about us being wise, and that requires thoughtfulness, like we were just saying, and it requires, I guess I'll put it this way, smarts. You got to be smart about things. God doesn't want you just kind of naively bouncing through life. There are things that need to be addressed in your life, and in the life of people in the family and in the church life. And we just can't just be, you know, floating. I can have peace, but you have to take care of things in your life. Don't you?
Yes, you have to be prepared.
There has to be a preparation. Thank you.
I was reading about Abraham. He's talking about all he went through and Lot and all that. And then Lot got taken away.
Yes. And recaptured, brought Lot back. And that's part of all this thing about wisdom and thinking and prudent. To be prudent means that you plan ahead. You think about things. You're prepared. Jesus says that at about the end of the age, doesn't he? Be ready. There are things we need to be ready for. And I think most of us are in the dark about what those things are. How can we, you know, be ready? Be ready for what? The rapture? Be ready for the bad things that are going to come on the world before he comes to get us? Be ready for that tragedy that's down the road there a year or two? I mean, what's be ready? And I think lots of Christians just, they only want to hear what they want to hear about that. And so they're not circumspect. They don't take everything into consideration because it's too hard to think about. And yet, the very things that we need to think about sometimes, God is going to give us the grace to be able to get ourselves ready for the things that are coming up. But we want to avoid it. You know? God wants us to grow up in this thing here.
You were talking about sheep, you know, and the slaughter, and then you were talking about the sheep and about the wolves and everything. And you know, like you were saying how their wool was really thick.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, all the weaponry that we learn about what's ours, you know, the full armor of God and the wisdom and everything, you put that on and that's what's going to protect us, just like the sheep. I saw that, you know, when you were talking about
Excellent.
You know, put it on.
Yes.
Clothe ourselves.
We've got to be clothed in Christ. Go ahead.
That Abraham and Lot, when Abraham saved Lot, unfortunately, Lot didn't have the wisdom to stay out because he allowed his wife, if I remember right, to take him back to Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he?
Yeah, that happened afterwards.
He got saved, but he didn't have the wisdom to stay out of it.
Right.
So we got to be careful because...
Then you had to get rushing again.
You could be like Lot.
Right. Exactly. Go ahead.
Like sheep get scared very easily and
yeah.
they scatter and
yeah.
go. And what we have to do is just stand and look.
Yeah.
You know, and remember that you've got wool on your back. That you've got God on your side or Christ as your shepherd.
Yeah.
And... react to every whim and every
exactly. And that's part of what wisdom is too. It's not impulsively reacting, it's thinking about it, being thoughtful, looking at all the looking at the whole circumstance and then making a proper evaluation and decision about what you have to do. Okay. Now for the second half of this verse. Are you ready? You're not spiritually tired, are you? Okay? Do we need to get up, do some exercises, push up something? Okay, all right, so you're ready. Your mind's ready. Because I'll tell you, in any message, and probably especially when we're dealing with spiritual warfare, the enemy wants to put your mind off to sleep. If my voice you know, kind of drones on, please don't fall asleep. You want to grab a hold. You want to grab a hold of the spirit life that's here. Okay. Now I want to get to a particular point here about the second part. And it says, "And harmless as doves." So we have to be wise in a world of wolves in this spiritual battle that we're in. Notice that it's also this battle is not. Chiefly, it's a spiritual battle, and particularly you as an individual, it's the thoughts that are coming at your head from the enemy, and we have to put on the armor of God, and we have to be able to handle all those things. But Jesus makes a point here of saying, not only do you have that, but you're in the midst of wolves. You're in the midst of wolves, too. You've got to deal with people that are wicked people, that don't care about God, that are looking for any way they can climb him. That are looking for power, that are looking for money, that are looking for whatever it is where they can control, right? So you have to be careful about all of this, right? I mean, that's true for relationships, right? You don't want to get together with somebody that wants to dominate you all the time, right? You want to have a helpmate that is looking to lift you up and support you so that you can be all that you can be. And that mate is doing the same thing for you. Isn't that what that's about?
Yeah.
It's not about domination, is it? All right, so now it says, and be harmless as doves. Now, I looked up the word harmless because I thought that that might not be the greatest translation. And maybe in some of your translations it says innocent. Okay, so that word, that Greek word, means harmless. It means innocent. And I thought this was very good. Not mingled. Unmixed. In other words, God sends us into the world. We're not supposed to mix with the world. Huh? If we're going to deal in a world where there's all kinds of wolves, yeah? Then let's not mix with them. Anybody have a problem with that? Do you understand what we mean by that?
That's what Lot did.
Okay? He mingled. Right? That doesn't mean we don't reach out and we're not friendly and, you know, we can be all those things. We're in a job. We have to be out there in the world. But to accept the way things are done and attitudes and the way people are and, you know, get into the soap operas and, you know, Kathy and I watch Bones in the afternoon sometimes. A lot of times. And the other day, this young intern gets killed in the episode. I was all upset. Over a show. You know? We can get wrapped up into things that really don't mean a darn thing. And the things that we should be wrapped up in, the things of God, we're a little more tepid about. Isn't that funny? You know, that it happens like that. So it means unmixed, not to conform. You know, not to be fearful of and kind of, you know, people start telling dirty jokes and you laugh because you want to fit in. Yeah? That kind of thing, see? No, you don't want to do that. I'm just, you know. But I thought that was
an interesting little thing. Now let me tell you, I wrote down some stuff because I
wondered, well, why did they use the word doves? Why didn't they use some other little animal? Little coney or a little rabbit, a real bunny. But no, they used the word doves. And I thought, well, this is really kind of interesting. Let me see if I can find it. I didn't write it down. Wait a minute. Well, I think I remember some of it. Well, I looked up about doves. Doves, they have a mate for life.
Yeah.
That's one thing. The other thing about doves is that doves, where they make their nests is in the high ground. It's always up high. Isn't that cool? Like the eagles, you know, they go up above. And there's something about us at like doves to be unmixed like doves. We need to be away in that quiet place where we're higher up and we're not allowing the things of this life to pull us down. Otherwise, it will, because we're in the midst of walls.
Plus, you can see from the high.
And you can see.
You can see
much better.
You can see everything from up above.
Then you pay a higher tax.
Yeah, they could do that to you. Yeah.
Doves are also the symbol of peace, and you should be at peace, even though you're.
No matter what's going on, right?
Yes.
That there's peace. And there's one other thing. That's exactly where I was going to. The scripture says that when Jesus was baptized, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove.
Yes.
And so the whole concept of connecting with the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit in your life, is part of what Jesus is saying in that, using that kind of a metaphor of doves. You know, that this is so important. I know you know all this, and I know this. You know, but we need to be reminded. I was saying to Melinda before the service, you know, we know all these things. We have it up here. If you've been involved in the Lord for any length of time, you've read your scriptures, you've heard people preach, you're rehearsed in it, you know it. But yet to move in this, it's so, so important. And that's why God reminds us time and time again to be ready for what is taking place. Because we do have to be ready before He comes.
I guess I should have mentioned this in the first part of your message, or was it being obedient? But just like in the, when we started to do our self-reliant survival thing, we foresee trouble time. And you need to act upon it.
Yes.
And learning the skills grandparents and their parents knew to be able to survive this.
Yeah.
It's kind of important.
Because nobody knows.
There are so many things that we tend to put ahead of that.
Yeah.
It's really not important.
Yeah.
And we put this behind and say, well, you know, it's coming a time where, you know, these things are going to matter.
Is there anybody here who knows exactly when Jesus is coming back to take His church? Is there anybody here? Do you know?
Yes,
he'll
be ready.
Huh? When He's ready for it, right? Now, do you know what time that is? What day? What? We don't know that, do we? You're right about that. Yeah. No, we don't know that, do we? We don't know all the things that have to happen in between right now and when the Lord comes back for His church. We don't know that. We don't know how many things we have to be ready for. But when we see the vast things that are going on in this world, maybe we better, hopefully, we'll get the picture. God wants us to be ready. What are you doing about your finances? Because there could be a pretty bad thing happening sometime soon with $18.5 trillion of debt. Do you guys know that? I'm not doing this to scare you. I want you to be provoked into saying, "Well, God, what do I have? Have you been asking God about that? What do we do about these particular things that are going on in the world?" And you know what we're doing? If we're not doing it, we're going, "Oh, God will take care of us." And that's the last part of this. We're not being too circumspect. If we with a scripture say, "Oh, God's going to take care of me," how is He going to take care of you? How does he usually take care of you? He speaks to your heart. And He's going to tell us how to be ready. Don't you see that? Lots of Christians are not going to be ready for the things that are coming upon this world, because they're even deluded by the scriptures themselves, because they only look at one scripture. God's going to take care of them. Grace always wins. Well, you know what? You and I have to be connected for that. God wants everybody to be saved. Is everybody going to be saved? But He wants everybody to be saved. He offers salvation and grace to everybody. Does everybody avail themselves of grace? No, they don't. If you want to be I want to avail yourself of the grace of God, you've got to humbly come before God and ask Him. You've got to ask Him for that, for salvation. You're going to need to ask Him all along the way. Don't you see that? Or do you want to be a lazy Christian? You don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear this. You've got to be brutal with yourself. You know? Am I a lukewarm Christian? Well, I hope not. You know? Does that bother anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to finish this up here. Go to Jude. You want a smack in the face? Here comes the book of Jude. Okay, book of Jude.
Scripture that talks about that if you have enough faith, if you believe,
you can pick up deadly snakes and they won't harm you. Jesus says in another thing, if this is bothering you, pluck out your eye. Do you think he really meant that in a very literal sense?
No, he didn't want to show how bad sin was.
Yes. And people can take something, use the scripture. It doesn't take the whole counsel of scripture into account. And lots of people have all these particular doctrines. Who was it? Roland was at some kind of a Bible study somewhere.
At the nursing home.
Found out that it was not exactly total Christian teaching that was involved with it. But we have to be aware of these things. You shouldn't just be accepting anything that people say. Should you?
I mean, we're not going to do well in the world. And yet, I'll tell you what, lots of people
accept what politicians have to say. You know, point blank. Oh, they said that. They must mean that. If, you know, when you look circumspectly, you see that there are a bunch of crooks that want power and want your money. That's what you come at. If you look at history, that's what it shows. If you look at history, anybody that's trying to get our guns isn't out there to protect the poor little children. They're not out there for that. They want to control you. Every instance of history proves that. And yet people just kind of, let's get rid of all the guns. That'll make everything so beautiful and wonderful. No, it's not. Because the wolves are still going to get the guns. The wolves are going to do their dirty work in the gun-free zones. That's where they all happen, isn't it? And I want to say this, in case you think, you can't bring politics into a sermon. Yes, I can. Because Jesus does it. The whole Old Testament and New Testament deal with politics and kings and what they've done and how our responses are supposed to be with all of that. Right? So get that thought out of your head. Because this is important. If we're gonna continue on in the conditions that we're in, let's have our heads on right about what's going on in this world. Kelly.
Yeah, how you were speaking in Jude about
verse 11. Yeah.
About the people that preach their own things and stuff. Who's that Warren guy?
Rick Warren.
Is that the big megachurch dude, right?
Yeah.
All right, do you know who Mark Rubio went and jumped in bed with?
I have no idea.
I mean, Rick Warren.
Yeah, he shush up. No, he went and joined his faith collaboration with that guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And he's the one that's, the Rick Warren's the one that's trying to do that Frislon thing, right?
Yeah.
No.
He started out that way.
Yeah, but that's not what he meant it to be. Not.
No, I don't know the
general. Those what of all.
I know what I know how it started out.
Yeah, but it's not. He didn't want to join Christian and Islam. He does believe in Christ. He is a Christian.
Yeah.
He just was trying to say, let's find something we can talk about. That is our love for God. Granted, it's not the same God, but we can maybe put that on and then try to get Christ in there and show him God.
So we need wisdom.
So you need wisdom. You need wisdom for that. Yeah.
In the Bible, it talks about the sheep as us, the flock. Yeah, the church. The shepherd is the pastor. We have to be wise as sheep who we're going to elect as the shepherd.
That's right.
And that's pastor, that's the leader of the country, whatever. So, as we can see, there's not a lot of wise people. You know?
No.
So, that's the biggest thing there. That's one way of being a little wise.
Yes.
Jesus is the chief shepherd.
Yes.
And God calls people into particular positions of preaching or teaching or whatever, or evangelizing, whatever it is. God makes those callings. Yes.
I think that we also have to be cautious that in our fight with Christ, because if not, we're going to become as the world.
Yeah. So that's very, very important. That's the whole thing about the doves, too. You know, they're gentle.
That's the main thing. And remember, we're fighting for this eternity that we need. Because sometimes we forget and we think about this temporary life and things that aren't worth fighting for. I mean, we have to pick our battles, too, and see what's really not worth it.
Yeah. Roll. And then
you want to hear this? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
When I went to that Bible study, I just asked one question, and I said, "How long were the Israelites in bondage?" And he says, 70 years. So I said, "I don't have to ask anything else." That's it.
Yeah, and people should know some of that. All right, go ahead.
I have to say that. No matter what happens, if we are His, He is our strong tower. He is our God. He is our shepherd, and He will keep us. And it doesn't matter what happens if we keep our eyes on Him. We will be able to walk the walk because we don't have control. So if something happens, then we have to pray. We have to stand with Jesus, and we have to just keep our hands and not panic. That's what I think.
And I think that what's really important in what we're saying here, too, is that our theology, what you believe as an individual, all right, I'll put it to that. What you believe as an individual shouldn't be based on vague doctrine, on this thought or that thought, but that when you come to understand something, that it's based on principles, it's based in patterns in the Scripture, it's based in the whole counsel of Scripture, not just one verse here or one verse over there, because that's where a lot of people get off, and we have a bad witness out there in the world. You know that. It's not the witness that, in many respects, that it should be. Somebody else out of here. Yes.
If you want a good continuation of today's message about grace and war, watch The War Room. Doug and I saw it on Friday. It's really, really powerful.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen that, we're going to have it on, what was the day, 15th?
Friday.
Friday, 15th.
It's Friday.
It's really
coming up. Okay.
Bathroom, I'll just say this too. I do a lot of reading on different things. I like to get people's different perspectives on things. And it just kind of
Makes you circumspect.
Makes you circumspect, right? Yeah. And you can see where people are coming from and how they think. I love biographies about how people overcome things and don't overcome things. I love that stuff. But every time that you read something, you really got to dig in and you really got to say, you don't have to believe everything that they say, even though there's a lot of good in it, too. So 95% of the book may be very good, but 5% of the book is not right.
Yeah.
That doesn't discount everything that was said in that book. What it does do is discount that 5% that is not right. And if you're really praying with God and understand God, like what Roland did, it becomes apparent that, you know, certain things aren't right, certain things are wrong. Now, in that Bible study, they may have said some things that were good and may witness to people. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that aren't. So it's very important that if somebody says something or you read a book and it doesn't jive, that you talk about that, you know, and come up with something that comes up with that. I was reading a book written by Brant Hansen. It's a good book. It's undefendable. It's a great book. There's a lot of good stuff in it. But Audrey asked me, it was her book, and she says, "Isn't it a good book?" I said, "Yeah, it's a great book." But I said, "I don't agree with everything he says in it." And she said, "Why?" So we talked about why. Yeah. There's he utilizes Scripture a lot, and it's all perfect Scripture. It's good doctrine. but there's an unbalance there. So you got to make sure that you're aware of everything. It's so important to be circumspect. You really got to look at it. You really got to be praying with God, and you really got to understand if something doesn't feel right, there's a reason it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, and that needs to be pursued. And we're in an age of deception.
Yeah.
Right, Steve.
Back in the late 70s and early 80s, when I was kind of trying to come back to the faith, I kind of strayed for a 10-year period. Part of the way the Lord worked was through the PTL club, Jim and Tammy Baker. Part of the reason I came back to the faith was because of Jim and Tammy Baker. Yeah. Because they had their, they fell away because they didn't take care of things the way they needed to. But we have to be careful that we don't, like Reggie was saying, that you don't
discount
everything because of that.
Right.
They had their issues, but
they're still
back to the faith.
They're still ministry.
Every morning at 6:30, before I went to school, I watched them, and it brought me back to where I needed to be. So
that's important. In the group that we were with before, the phrase that was used for what you guys are talking about is separate the precious from the vile. You separate what's good from that which isn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You keep that which is good, you throw away the thing that don't accept it just because all this other stuff is good.
Right.
So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, today that we would be, that we would war a good warfare. Lord, that we would be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, Lord. In this world that's full of wars. And Lord, we take authority over any spirit of fear or being overwhelmed in all of these things. Lord, you give us the grace, you give us the strength, you give us the armor of God. You provide everything for us, Lord, to fight the good fight. So Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, I ask your blessings on everybody here, that we will stand in you, that you're our source, you're our high tower, you're our source of victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.